Welcome to the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. This is the place where you'll get practical, actionable help on how you can preach and lead better. Our ministry partner for this episode is Disciple Labs. Disciple Labs is a brand new software that I'm excited to be using at The Crossing where I serve. Basically what it is a software that allows you to measure the spiritual health of your people. It allows you to measure beyond just tracking attendance or giving or baptisms, but to also dive into how they're doing in their daily walk with the Lord. You'll be able to identify trends, recognize areas that need improvement in each individual and in each ministry area. There's no more guesswork. You can get a full picture of how your church is doing at making disciples, and you can implement changes necessary to make a bigger impact. So if you're ready to unlock the spiritual health data in your church, I encourage you to go to rookiepreacher.com/disciplelabs. That's rookiepreacher.com/disciplelabs. I remember the first time I preached a sermon. It was pretty bad. I wrote a full manuscript, and not knowing any better, I took that manuscript up there with me. No highlights, no underlines, no prompts, nothing. After I got done, the lead minister, I asked him how it was. I also asked one of the elders how it was. I knew the elder would shoot straight with me. Keith, the lead minister, did too. So it was good content. And reading between the lines, and Francisco, one of the elders, he told me straight, "You gotta work on that delivery." And I agreed. It was a mess, but it was a start. This country church in Kentucky gave me the opportunity to preach during a Sunday evening service as the youth minister, and I'm grateful for it because through it, I was able to get the reps I needed to begin on the lifelong journey of improving as a preacher, as a communicator of God's word. And so today, we're going to be talking about something I've learned, the top 10 mistakes preachers make in sermon delivery, so you don't make them like I did. Sermon delivery. It's an art, a moment, an experiential occasion. But sometimes it can seem like a train wreck. Often the delivery of the sermon is the thing new preachers struggle with the most. But even some seasoned veterans still struggle with delivering sermons that both engage and edify. I believe with all my heart that sermon delivery can be improved upon, but it takes intentionality. And the first step toward improvement is to recognize what not to do. I'm excited for next week's episode because we're going to be diving into some things that you can do to improve on your sermon delivery. But today we're going to be talking about, like I said, the top 10 mistakes preachers make in sermon delivery. So let's dive right in. We're going to work backwards and start with number 10, crash the landing. A plane in the air is only going to have future value if it lands properly. So think through your landing. If there were a computer program to illustrate the path of a sermon, I'm afraid we'd see lots of nosedives at the end, and so let's not do that. Because turbulence is scary. Nosediving and crashing is even scarier. So plan the landing and stick it. Number 9, use colossal gargantuan terminology. Because, you know, it's better to use big words than it is to make sure people understand what you're saying. You know, at least they'll walk away knowing a few words to look up on Google. Old English, you know, is preferable to modern English. Thou shalt be impressiveth to the congregants. Insert sarcasm disclaimer if that wasn't obvious. Because, you know, big words might have been fun in seminary, but if you want your sermons to connect with your congregation, it's best they actually understand what it is that you're saying. Can you hear me now? Good. Number 8. Assume people know the Bible. You know the story of Ehud. We don't have to explain that at all. Once you've said that, many in the room have packed up and checked out of their mental room. We all know the story of Ehud. You know, they don't know the story of Ehud, nor do they know much of any other accounts from Scripture. And since they didn't get an explanation, they're wandering. So assume people know the Bible, and you'll leave most of them at the train station while the train is picking up steam. They won't even know how to get on. It's just going on to this really quickly. It's amazing to me and frustrating as well to think about and to know the amount of people in church world who are professing Christians who do not read their Bible at all. Like, I assumed when I started following Jesus and got into this whole church thing at the age of 20, I assumed, you know, when I bought my Bible, I assumed that people actually read it, like, every day. Like, I just made that assumption, so that's what I did. I assumed people attended church every week, which we all know that's, you know, common. So that's what I did. And so when we're thinking about the day and age that we are in, please do not assume people know the Bible. Don't take anything for granted. You know, sometimes when we are preaching on something like an Easter passage, we assume, because we've, you know, read it and preached on it many times, we assume people all, like, this is all just recycled stuff, just regurgitation. They already know the story. I would venture to say that many people don't. And if you act like everyone does, you're going to lose the effect of that account. And so don't do that at any time. If you are going to make a reference to sanctification, that's fine. But explain it. What does that mean? So people aren't left at the train station as the train is leaving. Number 7, keep your pace the same. Don't ever pause. Don't ever slow down. Don't ever speed up. Just keep that pace the same. Nice and consistent. Cruise control is great. In a car, not in the pulpit. Because the power of the pause can't be overstated if it's in the right spot. Again, variance. Use variance in this because it engages. Change your pace. Number 6, show no emotion. This may sound crazy, but hear me out. Your emotional expression is important. So if you feel something when you preach, show it. After all, God created human beings with emotion. And if your sermon displays a lack of emotion where it would be natural to show emotion, people will see you as disingenuous or disengaged. And in our day and time, that is really bad. So don't just tell them about the joy in Christ that you have or that is offered. Show them what joy in Christ looks like. Number 5, keep your voice in the middle. We all have our natural talking voice, but it's always a mistake when preaching to keep our pitch and our volume in the middle the entire time, because variance engages. Variance engages. So if you want to lull the congregation to sleep, keep the same speaking pattern. Always into sentence low or always into sentence high. These are surefire ways to help people catch up on their sleep while we're preaching. Number 4, don't move. Just stand still. And even put your hands in your pocket. That'll be good. I promise it's not a sin to step to the side of that wooden behemoth of a pulpit. I promise you. You can do it. Like, it's okay to move. And this is especially important if your gathering space is, like, set up wide. If you're not sure what I mean, when you are preaching, if you have to kind of turn to your left and turn to your right to be able to see everyone who's in the room, then you're probably set up wide. If you can just kind of keep in the middle, like, look pretty much straight, a little bit of a head tilt to the left and head tilt to the right, and you got everybody, then this isn't as big of a deal, but I think it's still good to be moving. Because here's the thing, like, if we don't move our legs and our arms, we communicate a lack of energy. Whether we are very energetic right then and there or not, that's what we communicate, a lack of energy. And it's unnatural, I think, to stand still for long periods of time. How often do you do that? Like, even when you're talking to people, you use your hands, you move around. So, number 4, top 10 mistakes on sermon delivery, don't move. Just stand still. It'd be good. Number three, stare at the back wall. In most churches, if you stare at the back wall, everyone will notice because the room is small enough that people can see where your eyes really are. Think about it. If you're having coffee with a friend and they look past you the entire time, you probably would either wonder if they even care about you or you would ask them if something is wrong, right? Anytime someone avoids eye contact, we grow suspicious of that person. So if your goal is to communicate that your message is disconnected to everyone's life, then the back wall is a good place to stare at. Just saying. Number two, walk into the pulpit underprepared. There may be nothing more detrimental to your sermon delivery than being underprepared. Why? Because when you don't know what you're going to say, you are chained to your notes or you're chained to your ums. Instead of being free to deliver the message with power and passion, you're checking for directions, missing turns, trying to do U-turns, and looking around, wondering how to get to your destination. Walk into the pulpit underprepared. That's the number two mistake preachers make in sermon delivery. Now, number one, and this is number one probably just because it's my pet peeve, but maybe you agree. Number one, flip on the preacher voice. The preacher voice. It's one thing to elevate your energy since you're speaking to a crowd, like that's good, but it's completely different to alter your voice altogether. Hey, it's good to see you. How are you doing with the new job? Like the preacher sounded normal there, right? But then they stepped into the pulpit. Good morning. Hallelujah. Let's open up in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. All of a sudden, like the preacher transformed into a golden radio voice announcer at the local arena. Like, why? If this is you, I urge you, I plead with you. Here's what that communicates to your people. You're being fake. You're being fake. There's no other nice way to say it. So those are the top 10 mistakes preachers make in sermon delivery. Now, I know that that was a little bit sarcastic. I know that that wasn't all too encouraging because I didn't give you a whole lot of things to do in the opposite way. Like instead of the top 10 mistakes, what are the top 10 like good things to do? But next week, I promise you, it's going to be good. We're going to be talking about what you can do instead of making the mistakes in sermon delivery. We're going to be talking about some things that you can do to improve your sermon delivery. In fact, we're going to be talking about 7 tactics to improve on sermon delivery. So be sure and subscribe to the podcast on your podcasting platform of choice. We would love to have you do that. We would love to go on this journey of growing in our preaching and leadership together. If you have a topic that you would like me to address in a future episode or a question you would like me to answer, I encourage you to email me at brandon@rookiepreacher.com. That's brandon@rookiepreacher.com. Big thanks to Disciple Labs, our ministry partner for this episode. Again, if you are interested in checking out Disciple Labs and learning more about what they are doing, how they can help your church make disciples better, then go to rookiepreacher.com/Disciple Labs. rookiepreacher.com/Disciple Labs. That does it for this episode of the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. I will talk to you soon. Hope you have a great weekend. God bless.